Who are you? It's a big question. Probably most of us, we can answer that question at least a little bit in part. We all have a name. That's part of who we are. We all live somewhere. We all have an age. All of those things could be answers to who are you. Some of us, we might include information about our jobs or our education or our favorite activities. We might talk about our personality quirks or our families or our political preferences. Some of us might focus on things or people we love or hate, things that we're passionate about, ideas maybe that we're thinking through. Maybe we talk about the things that we're good at or the things that we'd like to get good at. There's really no limit to the things we might say in answer to that question, who are you? Have you ever, though, had somebody else tell you who you are? If they know you well, if they love you, maybe it's a good thing when somebody else tells you who you are. I know that I have had times in my life when I needed a friend to remind me of the good things about who I am. Maybe I was getting really down on myself, and so somebody else to remind me who I am is really good. I've also had times in my life when I needed a friend to call out the less good things about who I am. Maybe I was in denial about those. Now, of course, when those things are coming from a trusted friend, from somebody who you know has your best interests at heart, it's important to have them tell you or at least remind you of who you are at times. But then we all know, I think probably, that there are a lot of people out there who try to tell us who we are, who might be well-intentioned, but who are just wrong. I don't know if you've ever been on the receiving end of that. I remember years and years ago, I was visiting the home of some kids in a youth group that I was leading, and the parents were giving me a tour of the house, proudly pointing to the different sports themes of their different, the bedrooms of the different boys in the family. And the thing was, of the three boys, only one of them had any interest whatsoever in sports. The other two had rooms that looked like they belonged to kids I'd never met. Those kids had a hard time answering the question, who are you? One of them took a long time to be able to answer that question. Sometimes there are people who aren't well-intentioned, who try to define who we are and who are wrong about it. Sometimes other people's words and actions, they get in our heads and we start to wonder if maybe they are actually right about who we are. Sometimes they cause us to question our own knowledge of who we are. That's when especially we need someone who loves us, who knows us, to speak up and remind us of the truth of things. And let me tell you, no one loves us more than Jesus does. No one knows us more than Jesus does. And this is what Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Now, when Jesus spoke those words originally in Matthew 5, he wasn't just speaking to a bunch of individuals. He wasn't just saying, you, insert name here, are the salt of the earth. He was actually speaking to the whole group. He was speaking to the disciples as a group, the disciples who would later move on to become the church, the disciples who were the first of, like, we are. The whole Sermon on the Mount has this kind of a communal focus, the plural form of the you instead of the single form. If we were translating these words in the American South, we might translate them to read, y'all are the salt of the earth. Y'all are the light of the world. There's something so encouraging and so comforting about that. It means that it's not all on you, it's not all on me to be the salt of the earth or to be the light of the world. It means that when I forget who I am or you forget who you are, we remind each other. Together, we're the salt of the earth. Together, we are the light of the world. Now, salt, probably one of the most common items found in kitchens around the world, would be my guess. We likely think of it as a seasoning, something to bring out flavor in food, but it's also been used as an effective food preserver for thousands of years. In China, in the north, there's a salt lake over which people have been fighting since as early as 8,000 years ago, possibly longer, but we only know up to 8,000 years over this salt lake. Since as early as about 3,000 or 4,000 years ago, so, you know, recent past, the Egyptians were using salt to dry out and mummify their dead. Now, close your ears if you don't want to know this, but in the category of things you thought you probably never needed to know, when mummies would be shipped down the Nile as cargo, they were apparently taxed in the salted meat bracket. Salt is a mineral that's essential for the human body's survival and for health. Now, when it's not overused, it balances our fluid levels, it helps us stay hydrated, it helps prevent against things like muscle cramping and headaches and generalized weakness. If you rinse your mouth with salt water, it promotes healing, it prevents disease. All in all, despite warnings against overconsumption, salt is necessary. It's beneficial, unless it loses its saltiness. Now, the reality is that salt doesn't actually go bad. Salt doesn't get stale. But imagine if it did. Imagine if salt lost its saltiness, all the things I was just talking about, all of its benefits as a flavor enhancer, as a food preserver, and in helping keeping our bodies healthy and functioning as they should. All those things would be gone. It would be useless. There'd be absolutely no point to it. It simply wouldn't even be salt anymore. And Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth, but the salt has lost its saltiness. How can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." Now, Jesus also said, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill, it cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." Now, the power and the importance of light, I'm sure that we all know this, is really in contrast to the darkness. The purpose of light is to be seen. We might use really bright lights to fully illuminate something or much dimmer lights to set more of a mood lighting of some sort. People put night lights in their homes so that they won't stumble into walls or trip over furniture in the middle of the night. We use spotlights in theaters like this to draw attention to specific parts of the stage or to particular actors or objects. Sunlight is essential for all living things on earth, not just because of the warmth it creates, but because of the light itself. Even us human beings, we need sunlight to live. And frankly, nothing makes that more apparent than living through a Canadian winter, does it? But if you put the light under a bowl where it can't be seen, it's useless. There's no point to it, because it isn't light anymore. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its saltiness, it's no longer good for anything. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." And all of that raises for me the question for us is, how's our saltiness these days? How's our light these days? See, both salt and light, they both have purpose. It's the purpose of salt to enhance flavor, to preserve food, to help keep our bodies healthy. It's the purpose of light to shine, to illuminate, to help make things grow and keep people healthy. Jesus said, "You are salt, you are light. What's your purpose? What's our purpose? What do those metaphors get at in us?" See, salt and light, both of them, if they're going to be useful, they have to be different. They have to be distinct from their surroundings if they're to be of any use whatsoever. It's the same not true of Jesus' disciples, of us. Aren't we called to be different, to be distinct from the world in which we live? Salt and light, if they're going to be the least bit useful, must be in the food, in the body, in the world. They can't be hidden away. And isn't that also true of Jesus' disciples, of us? Are we not also called to be in the world, among the people of the world in which we live, called to be distinct, but also out there in the world in which we live? How's your saltiness doing these days? How's your light these days? I want us to take some time this morning and do some real reflecting on that question. And I'm going to give us a good 5 minutes to do that. And what I want to invite you to do is however you're going to reflect best. There is some paper on clipboards back there, markers and things like that. I thought it might be helpful to have some candles, some light, if that helps in your reflection. If you need to move to sit somewhere else for these 5 minutes to do that. I also have a bunch of little cups with salt in them. If that would help you, maybe to come up and get a cup of salt, maybe hold it in your hand, maybe put a piece on your tongue. The real question is, how are you doing at all this? You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. How are you doing with that these days? When I was thinking this sermon through earlier in the week, I thought that I might spend some time talking about, okay, well, how do we restore our saltiness or our light? Except here's the thing. Jesus didn't say, you have salt or you have light. He didn't say, hey, there's light inside of you. He said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. It's who we are. Now, sometimes in our lives, especially when we're trying to figure out who we are, we maybe try on different masks, as it were. Teenagers are particularly known for this. After all, a big part of what teenagers do is figure out who they are. So they try on different things until they figure out what fits. It's possible to go through life denying who we are or hiding who we are. It's possible to go through life never really knowing who we are. But none of that changes the facts of who we are. And Jesus said to his disciples, to everyone who's done like those first disciples did and said yes to following Jesus, he said to all of them, all of us, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are salt. You are light. That is a fact of who we are. The question really is whether we'll hide or we'll shine. Will we accept that we're different, that we're distinct from the world? Will we accept that we are at the same time called to be distinct in the world, among the people of the world? Who are you? I asked at the beginning of the sermon. And you may have lots of answers to that question, and all those answers might be true. Jesus said, you are salt, you are light. He said even more than that, though. Those weren't the only two things he said about who we are. And he said all of it as facts, as undeniable, unarguable facts and truth. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to read just some of those that you can find in Scripture that Jesus spoke about, that God speaks about who we are. And I'm going to read them saying, we are, and follow along. But what I'm going to ask you to do is after each one, and they're fairly short sentences, so this should work. I'm going to ask you to speak out loud, if you're comfortable doing so, but to speak out loud each sentence after I've said it, changing it from we are to I am, to personalize it. So for instance, if I say, we are the light of the world, you would say, I am the light of the world. And we'll just kind of speak that in unison all together, declaring out loud these truths of who we are, who God has said we are. And so to start with, we are Jesus' friends. We are God's children. We are the image of God. We are God's temple, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. We are a new creation. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are loved by God. We are members of Christ's body. We are full citizens of God's kingdom. We are redeemed. We are forgiven. We are God's workmanship. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. Whatever comes your way this week, whether you're able to believe those statements about yourself or not, they are true. God has declared, this is who you are.